About 1 in 8 women in the United States, between 12 and 13%, will develop invasive breast cancer over the course of her lifetime. And in 2010, an estimated 207,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer are expected to be diagnosed in women in the United States, along with 54,000 new cases of non-invasive breast cancer. These are pretty scary statistics, but women in Central New York can rest a bit easier, knowing that we have in our community a nationally recognized and accredited program for breast cancer treatment, right here at Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. It's part of Upstate's Cancer Center, located at the Regional Oncology Center, offering excellent, effective, and compassionate care. That's their mission. And joining us this morning to share more about their program are Gail Donnery, a nurse practitioner, and Peggy McPhillips, a registered nurse, and Lisa Chico, also a nurse practitioner. They all work collaboratively to help their patients navigate this disease and its treatment. Welcome, Gail, Peggy, and Lisa. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Gail, first tell us about the program. I know Upstate's been offering breast cancer care for well over 20 years. How did it start, and how did we get to where we are?
We initially first started seeing patients at the oncology center. You see all different kind of cancers at the oncology center. But we had a breast program where Dr. Newman would come over and other surgeons and see patients one day a week.
That's Dr. Patricia Newman, who's recently retired.
Right, exactly. Yes. And Jane D'Antoni, who recently retired, a nurse practitioner. And they started the program at the oncology center. And Peggy and I would help out, as with the other nurses, on those days facilitating the clinic. And that's when we started seeing the women coming in with the breast cancer. Dr. Newman would do the surgeries. Mm-hmm. So she would see them as a surgeon, but then they were able to see the oncologist there. I mean, we actually did the biopsies there, and then they would meet the nurses and get their chemotherapy there. So it was all encompassed in one, you know.
So it was a kind of a comprehensive program in the sense that you offered the surgery, but obviously the surgery is only the first part of the treatment. And then in many cases, there's a need for the follow-up and the medical treatment, the oncologic treatment.
Exactly. You know, and as their program, you know, grew, so did the oncology with the other cancers, so that then they relocated over to UHCC and became
University
their
Hospital.
Own University Hospital, yes. Mm-hmm. And UHCC is the over on Harrison Street. Mm-hmm. And they became their own clinic over there.
Yeah, and Lisa, tell us about what's happening in terms of the surgery center right now, the surgery part of this.
Yes, we relocated to University Healthcare Center because there's so much benign breast disease as well as people who are followed in the high-risk surveillance clinic. So
those are things like cysts and polyps and things of that nature.
Cysts and people who do have mammographic changes or ultrasound changes that may need biopsies periodically to prove that they don't have a breast cancer. And hopefully if they develop a breast cancer, we will find it early enough to be able to treat them at a very, very low stage of the disease. And that's what the high-risk surveillance process is all about. And that's really a huge part of the comprehensive program here at Upstate and part of our accreditation process, was to make sure that we were able to treat people not just with breast cancer, but people with breast disease as well. And that's really the surgeon's big area of expertise. Mm-hmm. And we have, we do have a high-risk surveillance program at that facility.
Now, you said accreditation, and I meant accreditation, or I commented on accreditation in the introduction. Tell us about that. I know the program is both nationally recognized and nationally accredited by the American College of Surgeons Commission on Cancer, and I think that's quite unusual, isn't it? Not very many programs nationwide have that accreditation.
When we first applied for that accreditation a year ago, there were about 100 facilities nationwide that had the accreditation. I think we were probably one of the few that did have it in the country. There are more programs now that have that certification. However, we were one of the first ones in the nation that were recognized that way, and the second one in the state.
Well, that really gives us peace of mind, I think, for so many women here in Central New York. We mentioned, Peggy, that the program was multidisciplinary. Can you explain what that means to our listeners?
Multidisciplinary clinics are clinics where instead of the patients going to different doctors, the doctors come to them. They're all in one area. And for the breast, the multidisciplinary clinic, the surgeon is there as well as the radiation doctor. and the medical oncologist is there, and they all each separately see the patient, and then they collaborate together after looking at the films and examination and talking with the patient and decide if the patient is just a surgical candidate and maybe doesn't need anything else. They may need chemotherapy along with the surgery, or they may just need radiation. And all of it is done all at one time, which makes it a lot easier for the patients to meet all the doctors at one time, I think, and then decide from there. And they're in the clinic where they're going to be treated for, you know, for the medical part of it. So they get to meet all the different workers, you know, the nurses. And so it's kind of, I think, a lot easier for the patients when they're going through something like that to speak with all the different doctors all at the same time instead
and in
of going
one place.
Separately all
yeah,
at one place.
Much less stressful, I would think, for the patient.
Yeah.
Gail, I also understand that you offer genetic counseling as well.
We do. That's one of our Bonnie Braddock comes over, and she's a genetic counselor here at Upstate, and she will come over to the multidisciplinary clinic, and she will talk to the patients first, takes a, you know, a lot of time with them, and then decides whether they should have genetic testing or not, because some people will come in saying, I really want to have it, I think I need it, and it, you know, she will talk to them, and then we'll decide. But it is something that's done on a Friday when we have our multidisciplinary clinic, and it's all taken care of in one visit.
So in other words, if someone has a
family history
or worry that they have the BRCA gene or some gene
exactly. If they're young, you look at somebody who comes in young, less than 50 when they're diagnosed, and you look at the family history, and then they decide whether to do the BRCA testing or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it sounds like this is a fairly comprehensive program, and it's amazing that, you know, that you've been able to coordinate all these different specialists in one place. I think it's like I said, it has to give peace of mm-hmm. mind to our Central New York women, knowing that. Well, we're going to hold that thought. Stay right there. We have to take a short break, and we'll be right back. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air, 570 WSYR. Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with you, with nurse practitioners Gail Donnery and Lisa Seco, and Peggy McPhillips, a registered nurse. They're all part of a multidisciplinary team helping breast cancer patients at the Regional Oncology Center at Upstate Medical University. And I wanted to clarify that a little bit better. I know that you're offering a lot of different services with a lot of different specialists for people with breast cancer. Lisa, tell us, something new is coming, though, something a little bit different.
Yes, it's very exciting. Currently, we see patients all together at the Regional Oncology Center, but then they have to go for specialty treatments to different places.
Physical locations. Within the Upstate Medical University campus.
And what we're going to be doing is building a centralized cancer center right here at Upstate.
Mm. When is that due to open?
That's due to open in early 2013.
That's very exciting.
It's very exciting. So the first floor will house the radiation department. The second floor will house the medical oncology department, where people will have their chemotherapy. And the third floor will be the pediatric oncology division and the multidisciplinary cancer department, where we have multiple clinics that do multidisciplinary work, not just breast, but lung, colon, and
within
prostate.
They'll all be within this cancer center. Oh, that's really exciting, and I think it will offer it de-stresses this an already very stressful situation to know that you come one place and you get to see all of your specialists and the wide variety of needs that you have.
And I think the wonderful thing about the multidisciplinary or the multi-specialty clinics are that the doctors are there talking to each other.
Yes.
And can come up with a good plan of care for the patient, really focused on that person's diagnosis and what treatment they need.
I think that is critical, because quite often, if you have to go from one place to another, you're always wondering, they're all so busy, do they really get a chance to talk specifically about my case?
Right.
So that's great. Gail, tell us more about what happens. How does all of this work in terms of when you see a patient? What's already happened to the patient, and then where do you take it? You and Peggy, where do you take it from there?
Usually when the medical oncologist, nurse practitioner sees the patient, they've already been diagnosed with the breast cancer. And they come to us to talk about their treatment. And what we look at is the pathology and the biology of the tumor. And then, you know, we talk to them and decide what is the best treatment for them, for their type of cancer.
Would they already have had surgery at that point, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. They may have just had the biopsy. Mm-hmm. And some cancers are treated. We have a very aggressive cancer that they usually treat with chemotherapy first, and then they go on to surgery. So we'll have surgeons send the patients to us saying, you know, this is an inflammatory breast cancer is what it is. And, you know, then we will do the chemotherapy and then send them back to the surgeon. So when they come and see us, we'll sit down, we go through all of their, you know, their char and the pathology of the tumor. And then we talk to them and give them, you know, their options, what we have to offer them. And then once we've decided on the chemotherapy, then we'll take them back and introduce them to the nurses. And we'll give them prescriptions for their antiemetics for nausea and vomiting, but we'll always say, you know, the nurses are going to sit down and they will tell you everything. They'll go over everything, give you all of the telephone numbers. So on that day, they meet the oncologist, the nurse practitioner, and the nurses in the infusion area. They see the infusion area. They get a tour of the infusion area.
And the infusion area is the place that they get their chemotherapy.
It is, yes.
So you really are, in a way, you and Peggy are kind of the quarterbacks taking them through the entire process.
Exactly, yes.
I don't want to just say holding hands, because you obviously give them a lot more than that, but it sounds like you really kind of lead them through.
We do.
In a consistent,
compassionate
way.
We're the ones that they get to know, you know. The doctors are very busy, and one thing, though, whenever patients call to the oncology center and, you know, have a question or anything, it does get back to the doctor, and they do get an answer that day. But it's, you know, we help the doctors with that, with the nurse practitioners. And Peggy's the one that'll take the phone call and come to me and then, you know, or else to the doctor.
Well, that's what I'm curious about, too. As a nurse practitioner, and Peggy, you as an RN, how do your roles complement each other, and how do you offer that very collaborative kind of care?
Well, I think a lot of times after the patient comes to us in the infusion area and we teach them all about chemotherapy, the side effects that they'll be going through, what to expect, and they'll also be calling us, you know, for the different questions that come up after therapy. A lot of times if I see a patient and there's been a change or they're not doing well, you know, I'll go back to Gail and we'll see maybe we can change their antiemetic therapy, the therapy we give them for their nausea, so that they'll, you know, things will be easier this second cycle that we're giving them chemo. So we'll work with the side effects, and I'll go to Gail or the other nurse practitioners and work with them about that. Pain control, if there's any problems with pain control after surgery, sometimes we'll talk to the nurse practitioners about that too. So we try to work with them just to help them with their side effects and symptoms that they're having.
So in a sense, you're the point person.
Yeah.
And if I were a patient, I would probably call you first, and then you would go and consult with the nurse practitioner, who then might consult with the physician if necessary.
Yeah, there's different nurse every day, but there's a nurse on the phone, so that's a triage nurse every day, who triages all the questions and problems that patients have, and then usually we work with the nurse practitioners to try to solve those. And usually on the same day that they call, we try to get an answer back to the patient or bring them in if they need to be seen that day.
Gail, you know, there's so much being written and highlighted about breast cancer today. You know, we're very conscious about it. But how can a woman be her own best advocate during this whole process? And how do you help them become a strong advocate for themselves?
We tell them to not to be afraid to ask questions. They'll say, I have a stupid question. And we say, there is no stupid question. You know, just answer and call us. Don't be afraid to call us. And we also encourage them when they come to see us for the first time, bring somebody with them. And also, you know, take notes before you come in and have your notebook there. And we see more women with this now with a notebook, and they'll come in maybe after their first treatment and they've got everything written down as to, well, this happened. So we always encourage them, write it down to ask your questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. And, you know, if you want a second opinion, we encourage second opinions, too, because usually they come back to us. But, you know, we say, yes, please go out and get a second opinion, you know.
In general, excuse me, what advice would you offer someone, any of you, right now, if they're newly diagnosed with breast cancer, to let's say to a woman at this point? We'll talk a little later about men.
I think to trust your doctor, to trust your healthcare givers, I really do. And, you know, we have people that come in, women that come in and say, well, you know, I really don't want chemotherapy. I don't want this. You know, I'm going to do it, you know, with herbs and stuff like that. And we say, you know, that's fine, but it's a complementary, you know, trust your doctors and trust, these are all chemotherapy we're giving you, it's all been tested. It's scientifically proven with clinical trials. So, you know, just kind of, you know, let us help you. But we also encourage when they come in to give us a list of what herbs they may be on or what the alternative, because we're finding that they may interfere with the chemotherapy and how the chemotherapy works. So that's another very important thing when a woman comes in. Please, besides your medications, have a list of anything else that you may be taking over the counter from the, you know, the natural food stores.
excuse me. Lisa, what trends? Are there new trends in the diagnosis and treatment of breast cancer that you're seeing? Anything new on the horizon, or
we pretty much keep up with the newer things. We do have some clinical trials going on here, and we do encourage people to do that, and Gail can address that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is not to be afraid to seek treatment and to try to get this early. And seeking treatment doesn't necessarily mean you have to accept treatment. A lot of people will come for their diagnosis and hear their options, but we don't force anybody to have chemotherapy if they really don't want it. We don't force people to surgically have something done if they don't want it. But to seek some kind of help and to at least get in on what's going on and understanding what you have and what you can do to help that. And the wonderful thing about today is we have so many good medicines to help people as far as their breast cancer treatment, and as far as chemotherapy goes, it's a whole different ballgame than it was years ago. People do very well with it most of the time. It's not an easy thing still, but they do very well as far as the antiemetics, and Peggy and Gail can address that. They don't get sick and lose weight like they used to. They don't get the infections like they used to most of the time, and that's made a really big difference.
And the rate of cure has gone up as well, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
So it's not only that you're struggling through the chemotherapy, but at the there's a rainbow at the other end, right, which is important to remember. Mm-hmm. And I think the point that that you're all making is how important education, self-education is, both in terms of coming to a center and getting education, but also maybe reading on your own and asking questions and making yourself your own best advocate in that sense.
And one of the big resources that we do have here at Upstate is the American Cancer Society. They do have a navigation system where they actually have people who've experienced breast cancer or other kinds of cancers working with the patients right here on site.
Oh, so that's actually a program that's actually through American Cancer, but it's right here at Upstate.
Still a big part of our programs here.
Okay. Very quickly, in the little bit of time we have left, tell me about men. Are men getting breast cancer?
We do see. We've had our couple of men patients. Yes, we have. They are also at risk. You talk about the BRCA gene. Okay, if their mom had the BRCA mutation, they are just at risk as their sisters may be. They have a 50% chance of getting the BRCA gene. Then they have an 85% chance in their lifetime of getting breast cancer because they have breast tissue also.
So they should come to your center, too.
We do see them. We treat them. They get the same treatment. If they need chemotherapy, they will get the same chemotherapy as a woman gets. A lot of times they get the surgery. They even go on the hormonal.
If people want to know about the research or the clinical trials, who can they call or where should they go? Real quick.
They can call the health links that can, you know, set them up with it. There are different online, you know, different webs that you can go through, but there are certain ones that we have at Upstate. We participate in Cancer and Leukemia Group B, which is a cooperative group. We get a lot of our protocols out of there.
Very good.
We have two that are coming
Very
up.
Good. Well, this has been wonderful. Nurse practitioners Gail Donnery and Lisa Seco and registered nurse Peggy McPhillips, you guys have really helped us understand better what Upstate has to offer and how much more hope there is in our community for women and men with breast cancer. Thank you so very much. I'm Linda Cohen. We have to take a short break. This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, 570 WSYR.